Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Honored to have you listening in today. Well, I'm excited for today's conversation because we're going to hear from just a very dear brother in Christ and an amazing artist, Jeremy Camp, talking about his newest album, his faith journey, and some of the things the Lord has taught him these days. In the second hour, we'll talk with my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, about the importance of having a strong spiritual connection in marriage. So here's my question for you to think about as this first hour unfolds. Are you ready? Why do you suppose that surrender is such a catalyst to personal revival? Think about it. Why do you suppose that surrender is such a catalyst to personal revival? We're going to try to unpack that and maybe even answer that in this next few minutes here. Let me tell you about my guest and we'll get him on the show. Jeremy Camp is a singer-songwriter, ordained minister, devoted husband and father. His music has sold over 4 million albums and he's led worship in over 32 countries. His singles include I Still Believe, There Will Be a Day, and Take You Back. Jeremy and his wife, Adrienne, have 3 children. You can find him on the web at jeremycamp.com. Jeremy, welcome back to the show. Always a blessing to have you with us.
Seriously, thank you so much. And that was quite the intro.
I know. Doesn't it make you tired when I read about you?
I was like, wow, my goodness.
I'm exhausted.
It's so funny because sometimes I go, wow, Lord, thank you. That's crazy to think about.
It is. What a blessing. And it is good for you to pause and step back and look how far God has brought you and what he's done. And we always love talking with you, Jeremy, because you truly, all the way down to your bones, you are the real deal. And we love your heart.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Really appreciate that. And as you know, you've been on the show a handful of times before. We love to start out talking scripture. Sure. Just wondering if there's just a verse that God maybe has been speaking about these days.
Yeah, there's so much I've been reading that God's been kind of opened my heart to. But I think one that has been huge, I think, for even just this generation, because sometimes it's hard to see the fruit right away of what you're doing. In Galatians, it says, do not be weary in doing good, because in due season you shall reap the harvest. I think it's one of those things where we have to remember that sometimes it's not always right away we see the fruit of what's happening, but even years down the road, we may hear a story saying, man, I was there one night, and, you know, I've had times when I felt like one night was horrible. I was like, man, what happened? This night was horrible, and it's like there was much ministry took place. My heart was just distracted, and God would bring somebody and say, listen, you know, I was at this place, and I gave my heart to Christ. Mm. And it's a reminder that, for one, it's not about us at all, and two, that we don't know what's actually happening in the spiritual realm, and we just have to be willing and obedient no matter what's happening, do what God's called us to do. And we may see, even in heaven, we're not going to see everything until we get to heaven. And I think that helps us to say, don't be weary in doing good. Continue to serve God with all your heart. So.
Wow, that is a great word in due season, because just imagine if, based on what you were feeling, sensing, and just, you know, the distraction you felt, you reacted to that and just said, you know, this is too much.
Right.
But truly, to continue to sow seeds, because the multiplication is in the seed, and to see it come back around, I mean, what an encouragement to your heart. Wow. Well, you've talked about your backstory, but I love your backstory. I love your growing up story. it's just one of my favorites. And if you don't mind, for those who missed our previous interviews, just give a little bit of that backstory of how you grew up, how you came to Christ, and what context you have come from. I just think it's an amazing story.
Yeah, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, and I had amazing parents. And the thing that growing up, I realized that God was preparing me was understanding faith. And I'll share with you why. Is we grew up poor, and it's not just one of those stories. I grew up poor, went through this. But we just had lots of funny stories. I mean, one of the things that I remember was these cars that were always given to us. And one of my favorite stories is this car called a Pinto. And a lot of people may know the Pinto, maybe not know the Pinto, but they were discontinued because if you hit them in the wrong spot, they would actually explode. Mm. And so
here, you can have our car.
So needless to say, we were given 2 Pintos in my life. Mm. And I remember my mom pulling up one time, and I was probably 5 years old, and she pulls up at church, and I look, oh, hey, Mom. You know, it was a car I hadn't seen before. So I hop in the car and I look down on the ground. And I could actually see the ground because it was rusted out so bad. I was sitting there, and my mom, I looked at the door handle, and there was this belt tied to it. And my mom said, Jeremy, make sure that when we go around corners, that you pull that belt in because the door will fly open.
God bless you, honey. You
know, seriously. You know, for a five-year-old, that's, yeah. you know, that's a lot of scary stuff. And so I remember going, you know, growing up, just that was a part of our life. And we didn't always have everything that we wanted. You know, we rarely had the things that were like, oh, I want that for Christmas, or I want that. But God always provided for our needs. And I think for me, it was such a time of preparation, of praying. We had times where we'd pray for groceries because we didn't have any. My dad would get paid on Friday, and it was like Tuesday, and we wouldn't have any money for groceries. So we would just pray and say, God, we need to provide. And one time in particular, I remember we woke up the next morning, and there was a bag of groceries on our front porch. And these are true stories of just going, all right, this is active faith, watching the Lord, you know, come through when we don't know how it's going to happen in the natural, supernaturally, he provides. And I think for that and because of that, you know, growing up and going to Bible college in California, you know, meeting my wife, Melissa, and going through watching her go through cancer and suffer and have to really go back to the roots of what true faith is. And that's true trusting in God in the midst of not seeing what may happen. And all that was just preparation for me to get to that point of saying, okay, God, I've seen this and I've seen you be faithful and all the things that you've done in the past and your hand guiding and directing, I trust you now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not saying it wasn't hard, not saying I didn't have my moments, or I didn't have my times of being angry and times of questioning, but it really came to the point of going, Lord, you've always been faithful and you are a God of you know, of faithfulness and God who leads and directs and opens up doors and whose hand guides, and I trust you. And so that's where I really deepened, I would say, my faith and to get me to the place where now walking towards this journey of life now and seeing God move in such radical ways and seeing people come to know Christ and seeing people go deeper and hear story after story is it's an amazing, humbling thing for sure. So,
you know, Jeremy, I'm thinking about your sweet mom and your sweet dad, and if they would have griped, if they would have said, I've got another lousy car to drive in, but honey, my little five-year-old dear, grab the belt when we go around the corner so you don't go flying off the
car. Yeah, I'm not kidding you guys. I didn't see them gripe. Like, they weren't the people that went to church and then got home and were blah, blah, blah. We lived it.
They had a simple faith.
That's exactly right. Mm. So I'm so thankful for that.
Because how they were framing their hardship is what built faith in you. And I just say that because so often we equate love as parents to making sure our kids have everything that they need. But I think it's so much deeper than that. It's teaching them faith when they don't get what they want or even what it seems like they need. And I, you see that, how that's followed you throughout your life. And we've got a new album we want to celebrate. But one of my favorite stories is, and you had an encounter with God, and I think you were standing on the bus stop, and then you were thinking, I can't go back to my old friends and old school with this faith. I just know myself. And so you wanted to go to the Christian school. You guys didn't have the means. And so you were willing to scrub toilets and work at the Christian school so that you could attend there. I feel like, Jeremy, that's like a David, you know, a King David in the making. And I just want you just to say a word about that, because there is some kind of grit in you to say, not one, I know my soul. I can't go back to that old territory. Two, I'm going to work for this place because I believe God has me here. So say a word about that.
Yeah, I remember it was my junior year of high school, and that summer I had went to a camp, and I really rededicated my life to the Lord because I went through some kind of walking away and doing my own thing for a while. And what I really felt like is what happened, I got to the point where I had this kind of vision as I was at the camp, and I was standing on the ledge of a cliff, and basically the Lord was saying, you're about ready to fall off this cliff. You're about ready to jump full into the world. And I have things for you that I want to use you, and I love you. And I remember just him saying, run away from the cliff as far as possible. And so I remember when I submitted my heart to the Lord full on, I got back home and I told my parents, I said, I can't go back to my school. I have to go to this private Christian school because I don't want to get back into the old habits. I know myself, kind of what you were saying. I know myself. And so I remember it was the day they're just saying, we don't have the money, and we don't have the money for the books and or anything. And I remember I sat there in the morning, and the bus was coming to go to school, and I just, it was getting ready to pull up. And I looked at my parents and I said, Mom and Dad, I really feel like I can't go. I can't. And they said, okay, you know. And the craziest thing happened, two things happened. One was a few days later, they had overpaid on, my brother has Down syndrome, and there's this stuff they have to pay into, and they get benefits. And so I remember they got a check back for the same amount that I needed for my books to be at the school. And they said, Jeremy, we're sorry for doubting, you know, we've been the parents of faith, and we didn't trust that God had laid this on your heart and didn't trust that. And so then we said, okay, well, what's the next step? And I called the school and said, I really feel like I'm supposed to go. Is there anything that I can do for tuition, for whatever? I'll do it. And they said, if you stay after school every day and clean, scrub toilets and vacuum, and then you can pay for your tuition. And I said, I'll do it. And I'm so thankful, because I knew, you know, shadow of a doubt, that's what God wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. And I would, whatever it took to be at that school and then not be in the place where I knew it would drag me down, because I wasn't ready yet. And I'm so thankful for that time, because it built so much character in me. And I realized that, you know, you have to understand, if God's calling you in a certain direction, do whatever it takes to go, you know, because being in God's will is the best place to be.
I love that story for so many reasons. But as you step back now and you look at all the years since then, don't you think that is an analogy for how we lay hold of the things God wants for us? It takes humility. It takes grit. It takes perseverance. It takes vision. I mean, you had to roll up your sleeves and scrub toilets, for crying out loud. But I feel like my pastor always says, you never get so big that you shouldn't be willing to have one hand in the sink. And I just think part of our call does involve humility and perseverance. And have you found that to be the case every step of the way, just in different forms?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many elements for me that I have to step back and go, if I'm not walking in humility, really the fruit is so minimal. It really is.
Yeah.
I know it's not, but God still uses it, and still, because he loves his people, and he's gracious and he's kind. But when I'm walking in that brokenness and that full humility, what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to be denied and allowing God to move through you. Mm. And it's way more powerful that way. I mean, it says deny yourself and pick up your cross daily. There's a reason why. And I think when we live in a generation where it says, do whatever it is to make you happy, we're just completely opposite of what God's called us to do. And the very self-focused society we live in, and God's saying, it's not about self.
Yeah.
It's not about self-preservation. It's about self-denial and saying, hey, you're my king. You know, God, you're my king. I'm your slave. I'm ready to submit my heart to you and surrender. And there's a beautiful surrender in that, too.
Mm, so good, which is a great segue to the title of your album, again, because it's really what you're all about, I Will Follow. Talk about this new album and just the inspiration, how God really prepared you to bring this to us.
Yeah, man, it's so much, Susie. It's awesome, because there's so many things that have gone on that I could just go on about. I have to kind of sum it down a little bit, but I could write another book right now.
Yeah.
but you know, I went to the place. My last record was my last record on my record deal, and I remember. So I got to the place where I was going, God, I don't want to just do the norm, where it would be easy for me to say, okay, I'm just going to do another record because that's what I do. We really, me and my wife were praying and saying, Lord, what do you have? What do you have for me? Is it, you know, being a pastor? Is it being, you know, a missionary? Whatever it is, we're willing. And I remember just being in a place where that complete surrender I felt in my heart. And when God opened the door and just said, I want you, I call it the green button. He gave me the green light again. When he gave me the green light again to go for it, you know, in music again, and to do it wholeheartedly, like full on, the creativity, the spiritual depth, just everything fell into place so quickly and so I can't even describe to you the process, because I feel almost bad because this album came out, you know, there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for sure, but it came out so easy in a sense where I just went, I know I'm in God's will. I mean, my wife were just going, oh my goodness, I would go write with someone or just write and come back and say, check this out. And we'd all be in shock, literally in shock, going, wait, that just happened today? I'm like, yeah, it just happened today. And it was just that every single time. And, you know, I'm not saying it always happens. I just felt like that this was a great start of the season. God saying, I'm going to show you. Because sometimes it's the trudge. I've been through the trudge of like, okay, it's hard work constantly, and you're just going, wow, Lord, and you're crying out for that help, and that builds a character as well. But this is a refreshing season of going, I want to show you how much I'm behind this and how much that you going, I'm going to follow you wholeheartedly, whatever you have, Lord. I'm going to bless that. And he just gave me this record. And I'm so thankful for what he's taught me about when you completely surrender and what he does and how he brings about things to fruition in so much grace and so much peace. And so that's what this process has been.
Hmm. You know, there is something, as I said at the open, about when you go through that low door of surrender, because it requires, you can't take anything with you. You really are saying, you get to decide how this goes, and you really have to mean it where everything is on the table. It does seem like there's a grace that abounds after the fact when you're willing to go there. I mean, it turns out how God wants it to turn out, but there's something so powerful about going to that low place and then seeing where he brings you. It's just an amazing thing. Wow. Well, if it's okay with you, can we listen to a part of your song, I Will Follow, and just love to have you sit back and just even receive from what God has given you, and then just have you comment on it before we go to break. Is that all right?
Yeah, is it the song you want to play?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
This one, what I love about this is that you're hearing a completely different song you've probably ever heard me do, and it is a very like passionate, almost like rock song. But it's, you're going to hear my heart of just going, God, in the midst of all this, I'm going to follow you. And I hope, have you heard this yet, this song?
Laying Down the Gauntlet. I think I got to hear just a little bit of it. We were having trouble with the download because this album releases very soon, right?
Yeah, it releases next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. So I was able to get a preview, but I had a little trouble with the download. But it was sounded like you're laying down the gauntlet, like, I am doing this, I'm all in.
That's exactly what it is.
I'm excited. Let's listen in.
Awesome.
Though the desert be before me and there's no relief in sight, though the enemy is breathing all the lies into my mind, you will always carry me until my dying day. What you have for me is worth it.
Dokey, if that don't stoke your fire, your wood just might be wet. Oh, my word.
I am
in love.
I love
I don't even know what to say. Oh, my goodness. I love this song, and I'm a cyclist, and this is going to be my new uphill song. Wow.
Here's the thing. A lot of people, and that's the hardest song that anyone's probably ever heard, like rock song, yeah, ever heard me do. But it just came out. It was literally that I couldn't hold it in, and that song came out. That's why I'm so glad you played that, because a lot of people don't know me like that either. And I think it's just good just to go, this is my heart. This is my passion. Yeah. It might be not everyone's style, but you're not going to deny that this is what I really believe.
Amen. There's no, explain what you mean there. I'm not sure I get it.
That makes me so happy you played that. Oh, a lot of people won't play those songs because they're like, that's a little bit too hardcore for us. And I'm like,
word.
No, it's good.
It is so powerful. And I'm telling you, if you should get on a bike and you should ride up a hill and have that blaring in your ear. And I'm telling you, wow. I'm stunned. I love it so much. I mean, I have to keep talking because we're on live radio, but I want to just listen to it again. It is so good. Was it fun?
You.
I mean, was it fun to record that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this record, you're going to hear it's just different, but it still has the same passion, the same depth. The whole record's not like that. You know what I mean? But here's what I didn't do, Susie. I didn't go, okay, I got to stay in this box, and I have to make sure that, you know, we don't, and people who don't like this, I didn't do that. I just said, whatever comes out,
that's right,
we're going to record. And that's what we did. And I'm telling you, that's why I really feel like this is the best record I've ever done.
Wow.
There was no boundaries, but there was spiritual depth, but no boundaries creatively. I think that was what was so exciting about this record.
Don't you feel like, Jeremy, when you go through a time, and I'm sure you've been through this plenty of times in your Christian walk, I sure have, where God has just opened his hand and said, you know, I want you to lay it on the table. I want you to, you know, give me permission to rearrange your life however I see fit. Every time I've gone through a time like that and I've had to sort of let go of things I'm white knuckling, on the other side comes a creativity, but also a new freedom where the gap sort of widens between what men think and what God thinks. Have you found that as well?
What you just said is exactly what it is. I mean, to the T, and I couldn't have articulated that any better. And so because here's the thing, I went to Acts 20:24 for me has been my life verse. And I always took that verse, what always stood out to me is that, hey, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself. I'm going to finish this race with joy and the ministry set before me to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul was talking about all he'd been through, and he goes, I'm not going to let these things move me, you know, because I'm going to continue to finish the race. Well, here's what God really pinpointed in me recently. You know, I went to Kyrgyzstan a year and a half ago and got to preach the gospel, which is a predominantly Muslim country. I did an outreach, did a whole music outreach. And that's a whole long story. But I got to the point, and that's where I got to the point where, you know, we had some threats and some really hard moments. And it's a whole story by itself. But I called my wife weeping, saying, honey, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, we have some threats, and they're telling me to watch my back and all these different things. And she, you know, she's like, you're called for such a time as this. You know, you go out there, I know you're coming home, but you go do what God's called you to do.
Wow.
And she was awesome.
Man.
I got off the phone, and I got on my face, and I said this, God, I can't do this. And literally, it was perfect. Now you can do it. Because your life's not your own. And what God lifted out of that verse that I've read so much is at the point where I went, oh my goodness, that's how Paul could get through all the things that he went through. He didn't just say, I'm not going to let these things move me. He says, but none of these things move me because I don't count my life dear to myself. And I went, oh my word. See, he got to the point where he said, hey, I've submitted my life to the Lord. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And it finally hit me, stuff that I've read for years. I went, here's the point where I had to go, my life's not my own. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. So I can't do it. God's like, perfect. Mm. You've submitted your life. I've got it. And that's when, you know, we were able to go and play this event. And it was amazing what happened. Long story short, you know, we had 8,000 people show up still. We shouldn't have, because we had the news channels say don't come because it's provocative in nature, you know, because it's a predominantly Muslim country, and all this stuff happened. But God moved, and people showed up, and we had people later we heard that give their life to Christ. And, you know, of course, you couldn't do it at the event because it's against the law, but we heard some really amazing stories. But it's all to that point. And I even said, it's funny that you had that in the intro before we talked, just saying to that point where you go, God, my life's not my own. And that's mm-hmm. when the true, you know, being used by God in fullness comes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what's going on.
I want to hear more about that story and that trip. We're taking a real quick break. When we come back, Jeremy, I want you to just unpack that trip a bit more. And don't go away.
Absolutely.
More with Jeremy Camp in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's my great privilege and honor to talk to my dear brother in Christ, Jeremy Camp. He's got a brand new album coming out in about a week. It's called I Will Follow. You must get it. It rocks. It is amazing. And it's just really laying the gauntlet down about following Christ and being all in. Because you know what? He's all in with us. And before the break, Jeremy, you were talking about this trip you took to Kyrgyzstan. I hope I'm saying that right. With some missionary friends. And you'd said before the break, even you'd encountered some threats. You'd called your wife to say, I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't want you to feel rushed through that story. So if you wouldn't mind, back up a little bit and give us a little more context and how God showed up and how he ministered to and even through you during that time.
Absolutely. A few years ago, I'd written a song called Reckless. And a lot of people were kind of going, what does that mean? You know, because in this, the sense of recklessness generation is, it's not a good context. It's saying, hey, do whatever you want, you know, despite the consequences of your action. And I'm going, listen, if go do what God's called you to do despite the consequences of your action. If he's calling you, you don't go, what's going to happen? I don't know, Lord. It's saying, God, I'm willing no matter what's going to happen. And so I had this whole kind of thing that God was showing me about being recklessly abandoned to him, saying, I'm yours, Lord. And so it's already started a theme. I Will Follow is this continuation of what God did, and I'll kind of explain it. And so from that, we had a friend that had called and had written a song, and I've been talking about completely being surrendered to the Lord and how Paul was completely surrendered and how he was, you know, beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned, but he continued, you know. I mean, he was, you would say, a reckless character. He would continue to go and serve the Lord despite of his consequences. And so, man, I was inspired by that, and I was on fire just going, yeah. Well, we got a call from a missionary friend. And about 2 years ago, saying, listen, we need an event here. As a friend of mine that we've known for years, and he's a missionary in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. He said, we've been here for years, and the people are just fearful. Mm-hmm. They're living in fear. It's predominantly Muslim. It's against a lot of proselytize. And, you know, we're lucky that we were able to have our church, you know, it's open, and they allow us to do it openly. And so we're thankful. But people are still in fear about just sharing and about living as believers. So we need a breakthrough here. Would you be willing to come and do an event? Now, that's right there was okay, wow, that's kind of a big deal, because here we are going to go to a Muslim country and we're, you know, we're Christians, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be a first of all, I didn't think it was going to work. So I'm saying, yeah, I'm willing. Let's kind of look into it. Well, they went to the Ministry of Religion in Kyrgyzstan and said, and we want to bring this concert over and do it in the stadium, in the city. And here's the guy. So they, you know, Ministry of Religion, and the, you know, they had all the KGB and all these different people looking at my stuff, you know, studying me, which first of all is awesome. Because I'm going, ooh, they're studying me. So they're getting to hear the gospel basically. Mm. And so they're going, studying my stuff and kind of leery, but going, well, he's had a lot of success in America. And this is literally what happened, but had a lot of success in America. So we like that. You know, he's had a Grammy nomination. He's sold this many records. And so, yeah, we'll allow him to come. And so I was kind of shocked. All right, wow. Well, and then all of a sudden it just felt like, because we were going to go to Ukraine and do an event as well, which we did, by the way, and that's a whole other story. But we were saying, you know what, it's going to be too much to do two events, you know, in one run. So we almost canceled the Kyrgyzstan event. Well, my friend who was in Kyrgyzstan said, hey, please consider, if you feel like God doesn't want you to, it's fine. But this is probably the last year that we'll ever be able to do this. And the door is open. For some reason, it's open. And God just spoke to all of us, me, my wife, and my manager, and my friend who's the head of the ministry that we did it through, which is my ministry called Speaking Louder Ministries, which is a nonprofit that does these outreaches in different countries. And so we all had confirmation of saying, how can we profess what we're professing? about being completely surrendered and reckless and saying, God, I'm ready, and not do this. Mm. It's an opportunity for us to actually act out what we're talking about. And so we went to Ukraine first at an event there in Kiev, which was amazing that we were there before all the crazy stuff started happening. And that's an amazing story. And then we went over to Kyrgyzstan, and eventually, right when we got there, we started feeling something was different. It was just like, what is this? Well, I started doing these interviews, and people were asking me really, and I could feel the spirit of it too when they were talking. It was very much, why are you here? Why are you really here? You know, because they're trying to get me to say the wrong thing so that I wouldn't be able to play.
Wow.
So I'm, of course, the big thing I share was the same. I want to share the hope that God's given me in the midst of what I've been through in my life. And I want to share this hope. And that, you know, I didn't say Jesus in his interviews yet. I just felt like that at this moment wasn't wise. It wasn't the mainstream media in Kyrgyzstan. It wasn't the wise thing to do. And so God gave me the wisdom to do that and get through this. Well, as time went on, of course, I'm still bold, so I still share. That's just me. And I guess I had ruffled feathers through some of my interviews and in the mainstream media. And so there's billboards of me everywhere. Well, I was getting ready to do this youth event. And as I'm getting ready to walk on, this is 2 days before the actual big event, I heard, hey, we'll just have to deal with that when it comes. And I said, I'm sorry, what did you say? And he says, oh, don't worry about it. And I said, no, what's going on? I could just tell something wasn't right. He said, well, they're all over the news channel. They're saying, don't come, you know, to your event. And they might, you know, not allow us to do it because they're saying that they feel like they know why you're here, you know, that you're going to preach the gospel, you know, and talk about this Jesus. And he said that if you say the wrong thing, if they allow you to do it, then they might send, you know, this guy Pasha in prison for a year. And I was like, wait, what? I mean, all of it was just shocking to me. Mm. So here on the news, they're saying, don't come, telling people not to come. They're saying, if we allow you to do it, if we even allow you, then if he says the wrong thing, something we don't like, then we can send this other guy in prison for a year. And so I'm going, what is happening? So I get on stage with this heaviness, and there's 300 kids in this, you know, kind of youth event we were doing. And, you know, all of a sudden, here we are, and I'm trying to sing worship, and I felt the oppression. Mm. I felt fear. And finally, we had this amazing breakthrough. I found myself, as we're singing, and people are finally on their faces crying out to God. Literally, you can just, people coming up for prayer about fear and oppression and all this kind of stuff. I find myself, I was so heavy that I was on my knees, right, on the stage, and I'm just kind of crying out to God. And my drummer comes up, and he stops, and he just prays for me. And then, you know, we end up, everyone just started praying. And I went in the back room and was just going, Lord, I don't know what's happening. So we go out to eat that night. And, you know, I just felt like God is saying, you have to keep pressing in, keep pressing in. So, okay. So we're all, I mean, talk about when you have that much pressure of stuff happening. I mean, you're constantly in prayer, and there's nothing else you're thinking of. But, okay, God, you know, we need your wisdom. We need your strength. We need your protection. And we're praying. And we had this amazing prayer meeting where we're on our face. I mean, we're talking about, I want to be, you know, prostrate, just like on your face saying, God, here I am. We had those moments. And I remember just an overwhelming sense of God's peace during this prayer session saying, I have you. I've been preparing the way. I've already been preparing the way. And so the day came for the event. And at this point, I had already called my wife, you know, after that youth event saying, and that's kind of what I shared earlier, just going, honey, I can't do this, and I'm weeping, and I find myself finally surrendering, going, okay, God, this is yours. You know, I have to just trust you. I don't know what else to do, and I can't do it. And him going, perfect, you know, it's great. Now I can use you, you know. And so the day of the event comes, and they allow us to do it, which is amazing. And I'm seeing, you know, people on the side praying, but praying not to the Lord. And so I'm going, oh boy, this is serious. You know what I mean? This is kind of this serious moment for me. And this truck drives up by the stage, and we're like, why is this truck there? So everyone's checking for bombs. I mean, this is reality. I'm not trying to over dramatize it. It just really was reality of what we were trying to figure out what was happening. So we're just going, all right, Lord, you know, someone got escorted out because they were saying, you know, we could snipe you right now. And so the police escorted this guy out, and we're just kind of in this place of saying, there's nothing else we can do, but we know we're supposed to be here. So God, whatever happens, we know that you're in control and that you're going to allow. So before we went on, we started singing a song together as a group, and it was, I can't even tell you, it was just this time of refreshing and peace. And I walked up, it was about time for us to go up on stage. 8,000 people still had showed up. Hmm. All of a sudden, this peace went over me. My bodyguard was kind of freaking out a little bit. He looked at me and he goes, he patted his chest and he was Russian and he goes, we go down together. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
All right, here we go.
That's what you want to hear from your bodyguard.
Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, at least he's going to go down with me. That's
yes.
great.
Comforting.
And, exactly. And so I get ready to walk on stage and, you know, I just said, all right, here we go. I got on stage and I had peace. Mm. I just had peace. And I said the name of Jesus. And I remember about throughout the night, about 2,000 people ended up leaving. We had 8,000 people show up because just the name of Jesus, it says, is a rock of offense to those who are stumbling. It's just offensive because they want to hear that, you know. And I was just trying to sing songs. I wasn't trying to do anything or push anything down my throat. I was just trying to share my testimony. So I shared my testimony. They allowed me to actually share about Jesus. I just couldn't say, if you want to know Jesus, if you want to convert, you know, to Christianity, I couldn't say that. And so I was just sharing about my Jesus and what he'd done for me and how he suffered. And I went through suffering, but he suffered. And it was a really beautiful time. And I remember, you know, just having moments where every word that I would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Mm. I would stand up and boldly say, this is my life. You know, it was one of my songs I was singing at the event and just going, wow, all these words, you know, shine bright, let your glory fill its land, lift high the King of Kings and great I am. And I'm going, Jesus, you are the way. I'm singing these going, wow, this means even more than ever before. And we get done and we end up leaving and we had people that said later that they gave their hearts to Christ, which was awesome because we had people that were there afterwards to pray with people. We had to leave because we knew that it would be dangerous for us to stay. So we left right away after we played, and we actually flew to Ukraine that night, which is crazy. We left pretty much that night. And our missionary friends got kicked out of the country because of the event. But they're so thankful because they're saying the churches there now are standing up.
Wow.
They're not as fearful as they used to be. And they're saying, listen, if an American guy, his Christian, come over and basically boldly stands up and claims Christ, how can I not? Mm. And so it's been amazing to watch the effect of that. And so we're continuing these things anyway. You know, we're going to be in India this fall with Speaking Louder, the ministry I started in August. And so my director's going out there in a few weeks, if you guys can pray for him, and preparing a way for us to come and do an outreach event in India as well. And so it's stuff like that where why this record, too, is so prominent, because there's just so much to it. There's so much meat and so much fresh wind that God's brought in it. And so that's why I think it's such an exciting time of life right now.
It really is amazing when you think about it, when you put yourself in a position to be available, when you surrender and you face these situations where you really have to answer the question, do I really believe this stuff? And that, you know, and you find out that the anchor does hold and that its promises are true. But if we live self-preserving lives, we never get to understand how deeply the anchor really does hold, how true his promises really are. And I think you miss out when you live a life of just self-preservation, you know?
You fully miss out, and I agree with that.
Wow.
It doesn't mean God doesn't love you,
no,
but you're missing out on the joy and the miracles that you see. It's amazing.
Wow, I so appreciate taking the time to share that story. I wonder if you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of background on the song, Finally Home.
Oh, my goodness. Such that you just, I'm glad you had that one because there's so much joy in that. So when I was sitting down writing this record, I've written a lot of songs, and even like a song called There Will Be a Day that talks about heaven, you know, and there will be a day, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. And I remember thinking about this going, man, there's going to be so much joy in heaven. There's going to be so much joy when we're finally with our King. I feel like I want to articulate that and write that as a song, you know, and all of a sudden just this song came out, and it makes me want to dance around. Like when I think about heaven and thinking about the freedom that we're going to have before the Lord, that's what I think about. And the song, you know, my family, actually, my girls and my wife sang at the end of it. You'll hear when the chorus comes back in, you're going to kind of hear this kind of gang vocal at the end, and it's them singing with me. And it's such a beautiful moment just to have, for one, my family sing with me on this whole song about heaven. But it's just this saying, we're going to finally be home one day. And when I'm finally home, this is what I'm going to do. This is what it's going to be like. And this is some of the thoughts that I'm going to have. And it's just such a joy that's equated in the song that I'm really excited for people to hear. So here you go from I will follow this real big, intense, you know, laying the gauntlet down to this, I want to dance around. I'm so much, you know, have so much joy in knowing that I'm going to be with my king one day.
Man, Jeremy, I can't wait to get my hands on this whole album. Let's listen to this wonderful song, Finally Home. Doesn't that just make you so happy to listen to?
Yes.
I just am smiling ear to ear as I'm listening to this. It is just, I love the tone. I love the sound. And, you know, you always sing from your gut. I think every one of your songs you are all in for. But there's something about this album, it seems, Jeremy, like you fully have spread your wings. Like, I mean, as far as they go.
You know, it's exactly what you just said is what it feels like for me. Like, there was It is. I vocally, everything. It's just, and that's been what people have said. I'm like, I know, I felt like there was a freedom in this record like never before. And you're going to hear some still the same stuff that you've heard from me, you know, because that's just a part of me as well. Like same power. He knows some of these songs, but there's so much different stuff too, because once again, I allowed whatever came out to come out, and there was a freedom in that. So
good. Well, I was speaking at a women's conference this weekend, and I was talking about our sword, and I'm held the word. You know how the scripture says that it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I studied that passage, and it's about his word is efficient, it's effective, it's fresh, it's powerful. So when you think about whatever you're going through, there's a fresh word in there for you. There's an efficient word in there. I mean, it's not old news, it's now news. And as I started to just sort of think about the livingness of God's word, you've got a song on the living word. I love it.
That song came from, that scripture, actually.
Really?
Like Yeah, one day I was reading that and just went, oh my goodness, we need to talk about God's word, you know, more, because I feel like in our generation it's under attack. And so, you know, the relevancy of it, it's like God's word is relevant. It's truth. You can't pick apart things you don't like. And if you meditate in the law of the Lord both day and night, it'd be like a tree planted like by the rivers of water. It's like you'll bear fruit. And there's so much that happens when you're in God's word. And so this song was birthed from that scripture. So that was perfect that you shared that.
Wow. So we've just got a few minutes left. We're going to play this song, and we're going to try to get just at least a minute or so of Only in You. And we're just going to make the most of every minute we have with you here, Jeremy.
Awesome.
So,
Thank you so much.
Yes,
I love it.
Let's listen to Living Word. I can't wait.
Awesome.
One guarantee, this broken world will only leave me empty. But there's a life that healed my heart, and it holds firm when I'm falling apart. I will stand on the truth in the living word of God, 'cause every time it moves my soul and shapes my every thought, it's alive in me, the very breath I breathe. I'm holding on with all I've got to the living word of God.
I want to hear that whole thing so bad, but we are literally on the countdown. I'm watching the clock, and I'm breaking out in a sweat. I want so much to get Only in You. So can you just say a word about that so we can squeeze a little bit of that song before we close and pray?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the whole concept for me, the joy of knowing that we find everything we need at the foot of the cross, and it's only in Him that we find rest and peace, and there's joy in that as well. So that's here from the song.
Okay, we're just going to listen to a portion. We'll come back and pray and wrap up the show.
Awesome.
There's a place with thirsty souls, find living water, and thirst no more. And there's a perfect rest in mercy's arms.
good. Jeremy, I can't congratulate you enough. I can't thank you enough. Oh. This has just been an amazing time. I just, God bless you and congratulations, first of all, on an amazing album.
Thank you, Susie. That means so much to me. It's been an amazing time. Thank you.
Usually we ask the guests to pray, but if you don't mind, since you're really stepping out in some of these places, I would love if I could just pray for you as we wrap up. Is that all right?
I would actually love that. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Well, Father God, thank you for your servant Jeremy. Thank you for his bold and humble and courageous heart, Lord Jesus. He really does have a David's heart. And I just pray, Lord, as he's home with his family, that you would give him grace abounding, Lord, moments of just joy and gladness and sweetness. Protect them from illness. Protect them from obstacles and things that would just steal from them. I just plead the blood of Jesus over their home, Lord God, and especially while he's away. And Lord, I just thank you that as he goes out, you go before him and you have his back and your hand of blessing is on his head. And so I thank you, Lord. I do pray you'd open doors no man can close, that you would establish him in places nobody else gets to go, and that the song that you put in his heart would go to the ends of the earth. Thank you for this dear brother, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I felt that one. That was amazing.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations on a great album.
Appreciate you always.
Yeah,
thank
and you too, sir. Welcome back anytime. Tell us your great stories. We always love to hear them.
I will. Thanks, Susie.
God bless you, Jeremy.
God bless. Bye.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. So glad you tuned in. Don't go away. We'll be right back.